Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
If you've got a date this weekend, some people were discussing the worst things you could wear on a first date.
Oh.
And top of the list is a full tracksuit. Now, I don't know if you're going with, like, the Tony Soprano velvet.
I would say the full velour tracksuit is a statement.
Yes, it is. Especially if you got the front down and some chains, like the whole look going.
Well, I mean, unless you're Drake.
Yes.
On a first date.
Yeah.
Or have some clout behind you.
Yeah. Any sports gear. You know, I know of it. Like, even, listen, Maria got me some golf pants.
Right.
And if you didn't really look at them, they almost look like dress pants. They're quite nice.
Yeah.
But no.
No, really?
Lucky. You can't be wearing golf gear on a first date.
Well, I mean, depends on where you're going. Maybe you're going golfing.
Oh, maybe you're going golfing. Or you're dating Roy McElroy. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as I have some pants that I wear for golf that are nice casual pants. That it wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't wear the full-on loudmouth, like, you know, pineapples on the pants kind of thing. That's not exactly appropriate.
But, like, would you wear golf gear like those pants if you were just going to the mall?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never wear, I mean, it's fine, I guess.
Like, it's a pair of pants, isn't it? Like, what are you wearing, a suit?
Yes, always, everywhere.
Three-piece tux.
My Century 21 blade. I would just always see golf gear as golf gear. I mean, I guess I've worn golf shirts with, like...
Yeah, like, if I'm just going out to, the pub for a birthday celebration or something like that, then, yeah, I'll wear a golf shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of your fashion sense is always looking like you're going to the gym. You're trying to convince yourself of something.
Yeah, or convince others that I've been there. For more than to collect the free shirt.
Guy never sweats. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, golf is the one sport where its clothing is suitable to many other environments. I mean, if you're showing up in the basketball tank top or hockey jersey.
Tuning in the jar. You should go full hockey gear.
That's it, yeah.
Helmet. The
whole thing. Just the jock strap.
Trying to get your straw in the mask. You should never wear a full designer outfit head to toe, you know, something. Again, like the matching cracks.
Trying too hard there.
Yeah. Crocs are a definite no.
Okay.
For a first date. Oversized sunglasses.
Right.
It's a bad look. Anything with huge logos on it.
Oh.
Yeah. You're in trouble again.
Well, they're not. They're subtle logos. Not huge logos.
A shirt that's way too tight.
Right. Yes. Again, trying too hard.
Yeah. Ankle socks with sneakers.
Oh. With sneakers.
I say.
Well, what are you supposed to wear then? I mean, you're a no sock guy at all.
Yeah.
No. I'm not wearing knee high tube socks.
No. That's a good look. No, I would go with that little sockette.
Okay. Yeah. But isn't that an ankle sock?
Well, you don't see it.
Oh, the no show one. Yeah.
Ripped skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
A vest with overly large armholes.
It seems all for the guys.
Yeah.
Because, mind you, they're usually the ones that need some help on the first day.
A band logo t-shirt.
Oh.
So you'd have to leave that Dave Matthews t-shirt at home.
Right. I don't have one.
Or you're not getting known. You don't have a Dave Matthews t-shirt?
No. You know what? It's the one thing I don't do is, I have a couple of band t-shirts, but never from concerts.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm not spending money when I go to these things.
I learned early. I think we went to see, like, Bob Seger at the Kingswood Music Theater when that was at Wonderland, and they were selling shirts, and I would have been, like, 17 or 18 years old, so I had to buy one, and I can't remember. At the time, it was probably, like, $40 or something, which seemed like a huge amount of money.
It would be, yeah.
Considering the ticket cost was about $15.
Right.
And then the next day, I was at the Bramley City Center Flea Market, and that exact same t-shirt was going for $5. Yeah. I learned fast. Great story. Make you feel better about yourself if you're kind of in the dumps and things aren't working out. Well, at least you didn't pull this move. There was a funeral in London, England, and not everybody could make it. So the church decided to set up a Zoom where people could watch it online. And one woman decided she would do that, but she was going to make it to the wake. She couldn't make it to the funeral for whatever reason. So she decided to watch the funeral online.
So do the wake after the funeral?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess maybe where everybody gathers for a drink and something.
Gotcha. Right? All right. Yeah. The after party.
She wanted to hit the bar. She heard it was an open bar. So you want to get in. So she's getting ready while the funeral is happening. She's got it set up on her Zoom, but she's, in the shower and watching it and her camera's on.
Oh no.
So I'm just picturing now in the church, like, are all the women in the church going, I hate that bitch. Never liked her. All the men are trying to act like they're not looking. It's a dead dude in the casket. He's sitting up for a stare.
It's the the gasping that must have been going on.
The priest is trying to carry on like nothing's happening.
It is so incredibly awkward. Like, not even video, just audio. Like someone has their mic on and they don't know it. And you're like, oh, please shut it down. Someone let them know. Someone.
Right. Yeah.
And then others sit back and like, oh, I can't wait to hear what I'm about to hear here.
And she didn't just apply shampoo and body wash. No, she went in for a shave as well.
No.
Yeah. Someone said it had an OnlyFans vibe to it. Well, cause open bar, awake, you want to be well groomed. You don't know where this could lead to.
Right.
And who told her, like when she arrived at the wake, who took her aside? Because she obviously never knew, otherwise she probably wouldn't have shown up at all out of complete
embarrassment. You smell really fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, she probably wanted to jump into the coffin with the dead person. I went to the liquor store yesterday to start stocking up for Easter as we're hosting and all the, outlaws are coming to our place, and of course, somewhere along the way, we got into this tradition of everybody having a B-52 before we start the meal. And if you've ever had a B-50, you know, too, you know, it's Kahlua, and it's Grand Marnier, and it's Bailey's. I spent a college semester on just booze yesterday for these lunatics. Why we can't all just have a fireball and go home, I do not know.
Might be cheaper to buy the plane at some point.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Let's all just take a flight in a B-52 instead.
That would be fine. Yes, it would be. You're probably right. It would be cheaper. And then we got to start figuring out what we're going to cook. Ugh, it's all lunatic. I got to rent chairs. It's a whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my whole living room, because we're like a side split. So that whole living room gets emptied out. And basically, from the island to the front window is just one long table.
Oh, so you do a table seating?
Yes. Whole thing.
Really? I mean, most of our family gatherings, which never happen in my house, are always just, you know, grab a plate buffet style and go find a seat somewhere and eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a whole thing, wine glasses out. And
oh, my.
Charger
seems
plates.
Like a lot of effort.
Oh.
Charger plates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got it all, Lucky.
Your dishwasher's going to get a run, I take it.
Doesn't get used? No. We'll wash it all by hand. Yeah.
Now, do the family, the outlaws, jump in and help out there?
Yeah, at some point, once the meal is all done.
Is there a bit of a controversy as to someone who doesn't help out?
Well,
because that happens.
That does happen. And I won't name names.
No,
but,
of course not.
There was one particular relative who was notorious for disappearing and falling asleep after a big meal.
And that sounds like you.
I did a few times, but so going back to when my mother-in-law did all the family meals, yes, I was guilty of hitting a couch after and passing out.
Right.
This other person would find a bedroom and crash.
Wow.
Yeah. And then all the dishes would be left to, you know, three or four or five people. You see, the thing too with like cooking or washing the dishes, yes, it's good for people to jump in, but you can only have so many hands in there.
True.
Someone's washing, someone's rinsing, someone's drying, someone's putting away. That's about enough.
Yes.
Cause our kitchen isn't that big to begin with either. So yeah, we're getting ready for that. Now we all take turns, but there is also one particular family group. Have slacked a little in their hosting. So, there's myself, Maria, and another family who are, as of Easter, will have tied for the most amount of hosts.
Okay.
This other family's about three behind.
Oh.
So I get to ride out probably Thanksgiving, Christmas, and even next Easter. So,
yeah.
You know, that's all on their tab. And then there is some talk of starting to do, whatchamacallit, when everybody brings
like a potluck.
Like a potluck. Yeah. There seems to be that conversation because I have been heard to, announce I am not spending $1,500 on you people anymore. Or whatever the number is. I don't know. I just pull something out of my ass.
Right. Yeah. I mean, normally, I mean, when we do a big hosting, like my mom would do the bird kind of thing. And then someone else would bring like a beef dish or a ham or, a seafood or something like that. Everyone just kind of contributes a dish.
Yep. Someone brings a salad. Someone brings a veggie.
And to be honest, I think, you know, it got to a point where it just started to become delegating. Here, it wasn't even like, hey, what do you want to bring?
Right.
It's like, you're in charge of this.
And I think that's a good way to do it. And I think that's probably what we would do too, because whoever is hosting will determine what the main dish is going to be. And then so from there, like I know we're going to do, I'm going to do this lasagna soup to start and then I'm going to braise beef. And so I will say if, well, we're doing everything this time, but if that were the case down the road, I say, okay, now you bring mashed potatoes and you bring a veggie and you bring a salad.
Right.
And you stay the hell out of my house.
And you're in charge of the booze.
Yeah. And no more shots. Just for the homeowner. The person who's done all the cooking.
It's Friday morning, heading into the weekend. And our first weekend of full spring will include a bunch of snow, which is great. That's excellent. That's great. Looking forward to that. We'll see. Hopefully, like a lot of other snowstorms we've been threatened with in the past, or a lot of rain we've been threatened with, it isn't to the extent, or if it does happen, it happens elsewhere, north of here.
Right. Yeah.
Would be good. We shall see.
Or that the sun for the weekend can melt it all off. All of this is happening within, like, the next 20 hours, basically.
Yeah. As I said yesterday, right in the middle of us moving our... Sun out of his condo.
Right.
Okay. That black cloud that covers the Venn family in history continues.
Mm-hmm.
I yesterday fell into a bit of a This Is Spinal Tap hole because they get the new movie. They're in production doing that. So there was some stuff on YouTube. And I don't think I realized, or no, I didn't. That whole movie was improvised. Everything.
Really?
Because they started writing a script, and then they realized, well, it's a rockumentary or a mockumentary, which really, when you look back to that film in the early 80s, it really set the groundwork for things like The Office and Park and Rec, all those one camera staring at the camera.
Right, yeah.
It really was the beginning of that. Anyhow, they started writing it, and then... the cast decided, well, no, if they're being interviewed, we should really be interviewed. And let's just come up with a backstory for all of our members in the band. And we'll just go from there. So then Rob Reiner went to whoever produced the film or released it and said, look, the money you're spending on writers, let's stop that. You know, give us the cash and we can put it into other areas for the film. And then there was this 2009 interview with them called Spinal Tap Back from the Dead, and they just kind of talk about all their different songs and their supposed hits, and it's just absolutely hilarious when you realize, much like Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's all just, you know, it's improv. And then at one point Rob Reiner said when they were finished filming he had 50 hours.
How they edit this stuff down.
7 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is true that when we watched, like, the Oscars were on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, as a casual fan of the movies, you're so bored by the technical aspects of, achievement in film editing.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where the movie is really made.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
You completely changed the story.
Yeah.
Based on those editors.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, I couldn't even imagine. Like, we edit audio here, and at times that's complicated. I could never imagine just keeping the continuance and not, you know, not editing out something that is a part of right. something else that makes something else look wrong or bad.
And oh, yeah, when they did it on film, like, yeah. with yeah. actual film.
Yeah.
Which some still, you know, in some senses use, right?
Yep. Quentin Tarantino comes from that school, right? Yeah. He likes to do it to... Well, listen, you know, in this business, when I got started, back in the old dark days, you were editing with a razor blade and a grease pencil.
With tape.
And yeah. tape. And putting it all back together. And I, at one point, got a job. It didn't last very long. Thankfully, some guy I knew decided that he wanted to. And in smaller markets, I remember seeing this, where you would get like a pre-cut interview with some artist, and it would get shipped out from all the record labels. So some guy up in like Perry Sound could then just fill in the questions,
yeah.
and it would sound like he was actually interviewing this artist. They would do it a lot of times with new releases. And so this buddy of mine decided that he was going to go and interview all these different artists. But what his angle was is that their answers would be pristine and that there would be no ums or ahs
oh my goodness.
Or hiccups. So the first one he did that he hired me to edit was Bruce Coburn, who says and ah every other word. And so, literally, my fingers were bleeding
wow.
by the time I had finished... And again, like 50 hours. I think he had about like 4 hours of just chatting with Bruce Coburn.
Right.
I chopped it down to 12 minutes.
There will come a day when we all shed this mortal coil and our kids will look through our stuff, stuff that we deem to be important and worthy to keep, and they'll just all throw it in a dumpster. Some will. There will be debates. Oh, this is important, and maybe we can get some money for this. And no, you can't. Throw it out.
All right.
Anyhow. Someone asked people to name things we have saved that our kids will immediately toss as soon as we die. And one of the first things is the box your phone came in.
True. I've got stacks
how many,
of them.
Do you have stacks of them?
I'd say there's probably still a few lying around the house. Yeah. We recently cleaned out some of them.
Yeah.
But it is true. Like you hang on to them. I don't know why.
Do you sense of yourself that you are tipping the scale of being a hoarder that
no.
you could no
okay. No I am very bad at organizing and and throwing out. I am bad for thinking there will be a use for something
right.
later on, but it's not to the level of hoarding.
Okay. Not yet.
No. It's to the level of laziness. Mm. Like we found, like bills, like my Enbridge bill still comes paper.
Yeah.
And so when that comes, I put the information into a tracking app that I have that lets me know when my bills are due. And then I don't always throw out that paper. Mm. Or for a long time, like my financial advisor, that stuff would come to me in paper updates. And like, you know, it kind of needs to be shredded. And so we didn't have a shredder for a while.
Out of embarrassment?
Yes, yes, exactly. why is this taking up so much paper to say zeros? But so I threw it in a pile to be shredded. We found that pile recently. Like there's a box of just like to be shredded.
Wow.
But we didn't have a shredder at the time. And so what I really need to do is just sit down and the problem with shredders, everyone who has one knows, you can use it for about 10 minutes and then it's got to take a break.
It overheats.
Because it overheats, right?
We have a shredder. It's just buried in papers. You can't get to it.
You can't.
Which we'd like to try. And I think it's just who you are as a person. Like if you look back at your childhood, probably your bedroom was always a disaster.
I'm a nostalgic person.
Mm.
Right? Like, and now that we have this conversation and after the passing of my father and seeing some of his stuff, you have to question why you're keeping it. Like why?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like things like, you know, I remember my dad when, you know, we played, we travel and played new golf courses and you get like a marker or a golf ball, logoed ball, to remind you that you'd played that course. And he had a he never actually assembled it, but there was a rack that holds golf balls, and that was supposed to be displayed, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, the place that we'd gone to visit together,
right.
and play those courses. Well, I've got boxes of golf balls with logos on them, and I'm thinking, like, you know,
yeah.
do we play these things? I mean, they're probably 30 years old, so they'd be, you know, worthless,
mm-hmm.
other than the nostalgic factor of I played those courses with my dad.
I get that. You know, and it's okay because it comes from you. So you're the one who wants to keep all that stuff.
Yeah, but then the problem, as you said, is what happens when I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like right. The boys are going to fire those into the lake or something,
sure.
because there's no intrinsic value to it for them.
Here's where the problem lies for my house is that when my dad passed, I wanted none of it. Like there was a couple of things that I thought, I'll use that. Not even out of sentimental, but I just thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Like he had this old fashioned car with a bottle that sat in the middle of it. It was for a bar top and you put booze in the big crystal container. And
right.
I remember that being on my dad's bar like my entire life. So I kept that. The problem was I kept insisting to everybody that would listen to me, which nobody in my family does. I would say, let's just take all of this to the dump. We
right.
don't need it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't me, you know, holding on. It's okay for you to hold on. But it'd be like if Adrian said, well, no, I want to keep all this stuff that your dad, and you're like, I don't want it. And now it's in your house and you're stuck
right.
with it. And I had to spend $600 on a U-Haul to bring stuff back to my house I don't even want.
And I think a lot of us have this characteristic where we think that things have value or they're going to come back in fashion
mm-hmm.
and have value again. You know, like things like my mom was asking me, like my dad's suits,
right?
Which were very expensive and very nice suits, but they don't fit me.
Right.
So and maybe one day I'll grow into them.
You
I don't
know.
But and that day, as I look down, is probably coming sooner rather than later. But, you know, do you really want to hang on to these things? Are they going to be in fashion again at some point?
Yeah.
Although I look back, my grandmother, when she passed, she had a townhouse in Scarborough. And there was a front window she would always be sitting in. And she had a chair that she sat in there. And, you know, when it came time to get rid of her stuff, you know, who wants to take this chair? And it was like her chair. Well, Nick, I didn't want the thing. I look at it now. Almost every magazine that I see or movie, this chair is in it. Like it has now come back in full popularity and I couldn't afford it if I wanted to buy it.
So it got dumped?
Someone probably still has that.
Right.
And now they're sitting on a pretty good piece. But that's one piece out of a whole house.
I would say, I'd give you this little tip when it comes to your dad's suits. If he had a habit of wearing like Century 21 blazers, it's got to go. All the
things. He had a habit of collecting gold bars. What do I do with that?
You toss those.
Yeah.
Worthless. Things that we hoard that our kids are going to dump. A box of random cords and wires you save that most of them don't even have the electronics anymore.
This is true. But every now and then you find the electronic and you can't find the cord because you've thrown that away.
We have a box of just so many like RCA cables. Yeah,
they're all adapters.
Yeah. Yeah. All those rubber bracelets that were a big deal promoting charities and causes.
Right. Yes.
Your Live Strong. I remember wearing a couple of those at one point. The hundreds of plastic shopping bags you've saved up in one big bag.
Yeah, I don't think those are dwindling, though.
We're using
them. Don't hand them out anymore.
Yeah. All the DVDs you've been saving, your collection of thermoses and water bottles. Why did Dad have so many of these?
And it is true, because even I'm guilty of even when, you know, you look at it and go, I probably shouldn't use that anymore because the plastics are leaching into the water.
Yeah.
But then you don't throw it out.
No. Oh, no. We got a closet full of them. The random workout gear you never use. Mm-hmm. I got a rower in my basement. I got a punching bag in my basement.
I thought you were the punching bag in your house.
Yes. Those jeans you swore you'd fit into again someday.
Ah, right. Yeah. Yes.
They're all going to the trash.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.